It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. The question came out this week. There was a great piece in Bloomberg, and the title of the article was, "Do you own your own fingerprints?" Well, of course you own your own fingerprints, right? Who would think that you didn't? But think about how much we're using them for these days on our smartphones, retinal scans, all these different biometric markers that are starting to be used because we think that's going to give us so much more privacy. It's going to make things safer. It's going to make it harder for people to steal our identity or break into our stuff, to hack us. Is it a good idea that we use so much of this stuff? And is there a danger that that information could then be used against us in some way? Joining us on the phone right now is Chris Doerr. He's a partner at Edelson PC, a law firm here in Chicago that specializes and works in this type of stuff. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. This Bloomberg piece was really interesting to me because Illinois is one of the only states that actually can protect people from the dangers that do possibly lurk here. We'll get into that in a bit. But let's talk about these biometric markers. We're talking about fingerprints and retinal scans. Are there other biometric markers that are being used that I might not be aware of?
Yeah, the two others besides that, the most commonly used one probably is facial recognition, so taking a template of your face and being able to recognize it either in person or on video or in photographs. The other type is actually a voice recognition. Each voice has a very specific timbre to it that machines can measure, and you can use like a password that you would say out loud in your voice that could be recognized as unique.
So those two might be coming along a little more, I guess a little bit newer, I would think, to things. Although the facial recognition we certainly have heard of because, like, on Facebook, you go on and we know they've done stuff with recognizing faces, helps you find your friends in photos and you can tag them and things like that. The voice one I certainly haven't heard as much about, although I think that sounds interesting. You know, we all use our phones in that way. Now we're speaking to our phones. It's helping us maybe not text while we drive, things like that. So there's all sorts of good stuff coming out of this. Where does the danger lie? How would my fingerprint ever be used by somebody else? I thought that's the safety, is that it's got to be on my thumb. Unless somebody comes and cuts off my thumb, I should be good with using my thumbprint. Is there a way that data is stored, that it could be used by other people?
Yeah. You know, there is databases of this at this point. It not only is on your hand, but it's recreated into databases. And, arguments say that, oh, it's being translated into numeric code. But there are ways to basically recreate facial recognition templates, voice prints, thumbprints, that can be used for nefarious purposes. So there is certainly that angle to it. But it's also not necessarily just that type of thing. It's more of what can be done with your face print when it is sold or used in ways that you're not contemplating. Facebook has created the largest private database of facial recognition templates in the world. Only the NSA has more than they do. And that is a very scary thing. And their technology is getting better and better and better in terms of how easily they can identify someone. Even if your head is turned away from the photo from the photographer, they can identify you from half your face. And this technology is just getting better and better. And so the uses of it can be extended far beyond kind of the simple use, as we say, with the tag suggestion where it can recognize you. And so you think about walking into a department store, for example. If a database of facial recognition is linked to their surveillance camera, they know who you are when you walk in. And this can apply to a variety of situations that you have no real understanding of where or when it's going. I should add that we are not against the use of this. As you said, it can help with safety and convenience and security. Our big thing and what the focus of the Illinois statute here is about consent and about notice and about making sure that people understand what is happening and whether or not they're okay with it.
All right, so let's talk about the different uses for a minute because with this facial recognition, I know that it's being developed. We've read stories about, like, this being used for advertising. So there's a kiosk on the street. You're walking by a bunch of stores. It recognizes you. It throws up an ad. It says, "Hey, Matt, come on in right now. 50% off at the Gap," or something like that. There's a way that could be annoying, yet doesn't seem incredibly invasive. But people would start saying, "Oh, my God, Big Brother's watching us." But there's a bigger concern here than just, this is annoying, I want my privacy back, I don't want every advertiser in the world to know where I am. there's the danger, like when you talk about these databases and things like that. Where does that danger come from? If I allow my facial recognition to be used, say, at my bank, and when I go into my ATM, it's my face gets scanned, and then I put my thumbprint on, and then they do a retinal scan. There's these three great layers of security, so I know nobody's going to the bank to take out money but me. Now, that's in a database, and if they have a right to sell it, say, or they get hacked, what is the danger of that information? Like we're saying, it gets stored as, you know, what, zeros and ones, so how would somebody then be able to use that for something else?
Well, if they had the technology to reproduce it into their own systems, they could, you know, sell it many times over. And it poses the danger of being able to track where you are. If they sell it to 50 different stores, and now you are in every time you enter that store, they know where you are, and they're using that information. It can be used for things like knowing when you are away from your own home, for example. If you are spotted in another state and with your family, then they know that you are not at home and you're on vacation and your house is in danger. There is a great ability to use it for blackmail. If you look at essentially the endless amount of images that are online and you were to run it through various different programs that are scanning for facial recognition, you can find people in different places that they don't want to be. And there's actually a interesting use of this in Russia where a company did this with actors in pornographic videos and then were finding who they were in real life, who their family was and friends were, and using it as blackmail against them. So there's kind of an endless variety of uses that you can use to track people and understand better what they're doing, either for commercial reasons or more nefarious reasons. One interesting use that you know, we worry about is different types of discrimination. One good example would be, I don't know if you've ever seen these websites that have mugshots on them, where if you, in certain districts, if you have a mugshot taken, whether or not you're ever actually convicted, you're up there and it says what you did. Those photos could be either just scraped off the internet or could be bought from those companies, run through facial recognition systems, and then sold back to various, you know, a department store or something like that. And so then every time you walk in, it identifies you as this supposed felon, and you may be asked to leave, you may be treated differently, things of that nature. And there's also the ability to do racial profiling when it comes down to it. This facial recognition technology can do that as well.
Chris Doerr is a partner at Edelson PC here in Chicago. They specialize in this. When we come back, let's get into a little more of what is the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act, how does it protect us, and what further protections will we need as we move forward. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. We're speaking with Chris Doerr, a partner at a leading tech privacy law firm here in Chicago, Edelson PC. You can find out more information at edelson.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at Edelson PC. Chris, the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act just forces companies to do some things. It doesn't really stop companies from getting your information, but it adds, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, to me when I've read about it, it just sort of adds a layer of safeguard that companies kind of have to jump through a hoop. But it concerns me that most of us, when we agree to do something, how many times do we click each day on the agreement and it's like 18 pages and you just scroll through and agree? Is it that type of thing, or is this really going to make companies take an extra step that will truly protect us?
Yeah, that's true. So it doesn't prevent any type of use of biometrics. It is a consent and disclosure statute. So it is forcing companies to just be more upfront with what they're doing. There is legal debate about, you know, what that consent exactly would look like. The statute lays out a few things that you need to be telling people. The mode in which they would tell you is open for some debate, but we would interpret the statute to say that it would need to be something more than just in your terms of service, that it needs to be a prominent notice that lets people understand what they're doing, what they're handing over, what information is being collected, where it's going to go, how long they'll hold on to it, et cetera. The statute is a really great statute as it's written right now. It is the only statute in the United States that really does this, that allows for consumers to vindicate their rights. There is another statute in Texas, but it's only enforceable by the Attorney General. So this statute actually really puts power in the hands of the consumer to go out and be able to say, you collected this from me. I didn't give you permission. And so it's really one of the best privacy statutes in the United States.
Do you think there needs to be federal legislation? Do you think that will happen at some point as this becomes more and more prominent? You know, state by state is very tough, I would imagine, to protect everybody under. Will there be federal legislation?
I think in the future will happen. I think we're going to see more states. There already are states that are considering laws similar to this. They're actually looking to the Illinois statute as kind of model legislation. So I think you will see an increase in state-level legislation, and then eventually it will reach a federal level. If anything can ever get agreed upon in Washington, that is.
Look at Illinois leading the way, just like we do in everything.
It's a nice thing to say, to see that Illinois is actually really, they've been ahead of this by many years. Frankly, when they first passed the statute, this wasn't as big of an issue.
Yeah.
And now biometrics are everywhere, and so this is really coming into play.
So when you look at this, Chris, because you're seeing a side of it that most of us don't see, the general consumer is either annoyed or thrilled with this stuff, probably a mixture of both. As you look to the future, are you excited as long as we can be careful about things? Or are you worried that, once we start giving up our biometric markers, it seems like a great security feature, but the crooks are always a step ahead. I mean, is there an element of worry about us getting identity stolen from this stuff? This stuff is supposed to truly protect us from that. Do you think, I think most of what you've said so far is just about people having this information, using it to be able to spy on us, recognize us, profile us. But is there also an element of concern about identity theft through biometric markers?
There definitely is. You know, they're not as secure as you might think. The technology needs to keep getting better. It's not very difficult to trick a facial recognition. Some computers, for example, use facial recognition, or phones use it to allow you to sign in. But you can basically, on some of them, hold up a picture of your own face, and it will scan the picture and unlock itself. That's obviously not that secure.
Yeah, that's not good.
There are ways to mimic, in real life, mimic fingerprints. So there needs to be continued escalation in the technology to make it as secure as everyone wants it to be. I think it could be a good thing. It could be helpful, but people have to remember, you can't change your face. You do this once, this is out there. You can't get a new credit card. You can get a new credit card, and in some instances, you can even get a new Social Security number. Your face is yours. You're stuck with it, good or bad. And so people have to recognize that they're sharing information that is static.
When you mentioned that Facebook has the second largest database of facial recognition next to the NSA, and that's where people kind of, I think people are okay with Facebook having it. They get more worried, I think, about the NSA, because you jumped onto Facebook yourself. You decided to do this, and most of us on Facebook, I guess, are narcissistic enough that we want our face out there everywhere and people liking us and all that nonsense. So what's the bigger concern in your world? The NSA and the government and stores using that information, or Facebook type things?
We're more focused on the commercial side, on the private entity side, than the government. The Illinois statute provides exemptions for law enforcement and for government entities. The facial recognition is widely used across Chicago by the Chicago Police Department. So that is kind of a more broader discussion that isn't really the focus of our practice in terms of what the government should or shouldn't be doing. But we like to focus on this commercial use, and I think, frankly, that consumers should be more concerned about that aspect than the government.
All right, well, let's talk about that then, Chris. What should consumers do? Should I hesitate to put my fingerprint on my iPhone, or to let Facebook tag me, or to put pictures of myself everywhere? What should consumers do?
People should just be very aware, and not kind of passively go about signing up for things. And if you're in a store and they say, oh, just put your fingerprint down, it'll be real easy after this, don't do that necessarily if you're not sure, who you're giving it to and what they're going to do with it. There is, for example, companies that use it just for, like, your monthly membership. If you come into the store, that's how you sign in, and people don't really think twice about it. But in all aspects of privacy, it's important to just be more proactive than passive and thinking about, why am I doing this? Do I really want to do this? And who am I giving this to? And what are they telling me they're going to do with my information? So we're not saying, crawl in a cave and unplug all your things. We really, you know, put out there the idea of just being more cautious, asking questions, and being very aware of how you interact in your daily life.
Well, I know that you know, the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act makes them tell you what they're going to do with it and also a date at which they will destroy this information.
Yes.
But nothing, no law can prevent them from possibly at some point getting hacked. So no matter what
Correct.
You're doing, there's that danger, right? And you're saying that it is a real danger. It's not just your Social Security number, your credit card numbers that you worry about, but companies that have your fingerprints or retinal scan or facial recognition, you would be concerned about that getting stolen.
Yes, absolutely. It is a possibility, and there's different technologies out there that protect that information and code it in different ways that may claim that they, you know, can't be reused. But as you said earlier, criminals are often one step ahead. So unfortunately, some of the brightest minds in the world are using that intelligence for nefarious purposes. And as this becomes more prominent, more resources on that end will be put into figuring out how to translate it into usable information. And that is where we're headed. It invariably will happen.
So if we're using these biometric markers for certain things, we should just be very careful about where we're choosing to do it. Make sure it's, I don't know what you would necessarily recommend, but I would say, you know, on my phone, that's with me all the time. That's something I use so often that it makes sense for me. But if it's somewhere where I'm going once a month or once a week and I could get in there some other way, it would be better not to put this in as many places as possible, right?
That's the idea. You want to be conservative about, you know, distributing this information and trusting the companies and knowing the companies and looking at their privacy policies to see if they're explaining what they're going to do with that information. And just understanding, you know, not just taking for granted what you're doing.
And Chris, do you generally not give out this information?
I mean, I follow my own rules. I am not, like I said, I don't live in a cave. I love gadgets. I love technology, and I wanted to make people's lives better, but I am just cautious about, you know, by nature, the work that I do, I'm a skeptic. So I'm skeptical of basically anything I encounter, and I treat it as such.
Chris Doerr is a partner at Edelson PC. You can find them at Edelson.com and follow them on Twitter at Edelson PC. I really appreciate all the information this morning, Chris. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.